This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I dive into some right beef cider as we sip on that and talk about Cider Summit. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad, I'm Nick White.
And we're here again. As it's warming up, I'm ready for this warm weather. I was outside without a jacket on yesterday.
Dude, getting a break in the weather is a lot of fun. I'm slobbing all over myself in pure joy right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm really just looking forward to light, like, porch beers, backyard drinking, like, those kind of styles to, like, hit the shelves and be stocked in my fridge now.
Spring is in the air, man. Your Wheat Ales, your My Box, right around the corner.
So if you're a new listener to Chicago Beer Pass, what we do on here, we talk about drinking. And, yeah, that's mainly it. We talk about beer we're drinking. We
different
talk about
angles on the drinking.
Yeah,
on
where we've been drinking and where we will be drinking. Yeah. And, yeah, report it all back to you. We usually drink
for you
beer on the show.
Yeah.
And this week we're mixing it up with some local Chicago hard apple cider.
Yeah, true indeed, man. So who we got here? We got Right Beef Cider, Chicago's original cider. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is from Good Time Charlie and his wife.
Yes.
Charlie was a brewer at Finch.
Yes.
A while ago, like four years ago?
Yeah.
A long time ago, yeah. In the early days of Finch, I guess, launching or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Back before they were the drama kings that they are now, you know. Yeah.
I think they came out of the gate with drama, but this is a cider that's launched in 2014, so it's been around for a little while. I've seen it at festivals and events, but never knew that they were bottling.
Yeah, this is news to me too. It's a very nice bottle. It's got the nice waterproof label, which is a lot of fun. Yeah, so brewer meets girl. Girl loves cider. Brewer makes cider to woo girl. It worked. Right Beef Cider.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I dig that. So it's like a husband and wife project.
Right.
Unfiltered dry Chicago cider, they're calling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you have like Vandermill and Virtue, where their ciders are a little more, I guess, artisanal. I want to say like, I don't know, they're more... I don't want to say interesting, but they're more unique, I guess.
More nuanced, I guess.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. It's like... I know with the Virtue, Greg was talking about like, hey, we use this like this Red Streak apple, and Red Streak on its own, the apple is kind of boring. It's bitter. It doesn't really look that cute. It's not the big shiny red you're used to seeing from Washington apples.
Right.
It's kind of ugly and bruised, but it goes really well, and it gives this balance, and it gives these different notes to his ciders.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wonder what kind of notes or kind of apples these guys are using.
But this feels like cider that anyone could make if you know how to make cider. I feel like
I don't know how to make cider.
It's not fancy cider. Mm. It feels like, I don't know, homemade cider, I guess.
This is like get some shaved ice chips and break out a little gin and start playing.
That's true.
Start playing some board games, that kind of cider. Mm-hmm. Like everyday cider.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know when I first had them early on, it's unfiltered, but it was like just murky, almost like thickness. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that from the early days of having any Right Beef. Like like not that clear beer means good beer or clear cider means a good cider. It was just like, yeah, you just poured this, like it looked like apples just smashed into a glass. There you go.
Here's your cider. Yeah. I like how this head kind of dissipates super quick.
Yeah.
Like it's there and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Whoa!
Or when you go too much pour, you do a big pour there.
I got too excited there, sorry.
Hold on, we'll get a napkin.
All right. Here I am making a mess on the show. We're we don't really edit, so Brad went to go get napkins. Yeah. Established in 2004, right beside her. Shout out to Charlie, man. I haven't seen him in a while. He was on the board for Festival. I'm just having like a running commentary on my own until you get back explaining.
That's fine, yeah. Keep it interesting for everyone watching on Periscope here.
Yeah, Charlie. I was saying Charlie was on the board for Festival when I first met him when he was back at Finch. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he kept that spot even through the Vice District era because he was at Vice for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he went on to do his thing at Right Beside Her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're saying, yeah, the head quickly dissipates. It's very heavily carbonated. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. It's interesting. The bottles, when you pop them, you get like a big psss, like it's loud. And I noticed that we did have a variety of fill levels in some of these beers, or yeah. some of these cider bottles. Yeah. So that was something I noticed. I just, one of these was only at like the label, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I got cheated by like 2 ounces of cider or something, or an ounce.
I feel your pain, man, you know? Because mm-hmm. what if that was the last one?
I know.
You know?
And like, yeah, it'd be sad.
Hey, then, so ciders, I know that Broken Nose Cidery from the Bagal guys is coming online, if it's not already. And then the Sizer guys, the Mead guys down in like 95th and Western, whatever neighborhood, in the Beverly neighborhood, those guys, Wild Blossom, they're making cider.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, really short list of cider producers in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's appropriate that we are drinking them this week because it's Cider Summit happening, which...
Yeah, CiderCon all week long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little industry trade show for cider producers and fans.
So if you're in Chicago this week, you may see like more ciders on tap.
Yeah, totally.
So as we're sipping on this, anything you make it to this past week? I failed again.
Brad, what have you been doing, man?
I don't really know. I think I drank a bunch of beer at my house, and then that was it. Like, I don't know what happened. Yeah.
And then I looked up, and it was Tuesday.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I didn't go to a brewery or an event or anything.
Yeah.
And since I'm out of town this weekend, I think I was saving up my going out.
Where are you going, man?
Heading to New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah, so there'll be no episode of Chicago Beer Pass next week.
Okay.
For anyone that's listening or wishing they could hear more of us.
Right. The millions and millions.
Yeah. So that was my lack of week.
Right on.
But you made it to some good space. I saw some stuff on our Facebook page.
Yeah, for sure. I got out a little bit, man. I made my way to Willow Springs, which is like southwest suburbs, right? So you got that that area where you know, I went to Imperial Oak, but then also Buckle Down is in the southwest burbs.
Yeah.
So it's Five Rabbit, you know, they're both down there. So I made it out to Imperial Oak, which is the brewery project from the guys behind Brixie's Bar, which is one of the oldest bars in the entire state, really. Yeah. So this was good. You know, their beers, well, when I looked at the awards on the wall, right, they were best in show at like the Midwest Brewers Fest, Night of Living Ales a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. As well as as well as the Brewpub Shootout.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had a couple of beers. I did the flight. And their beers are really fun. They big, bold flavors. It kind of reminded you of, my favorite beer was this Sal de Cashew. It was like a beer de garde with maple and cashews added, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
It's like a little variant on their standard beer de garde. And when you smell this beer, man, the aromatics are crazy. It smells just like, you know, some kind of like, I don't know, like a pecan pastry or
that sounds good.
It was really interesting, but then it kind of mellowed out and, you know, tasted like a nice beer de garde, you know, like a malt forward beer. I really dug it, man. It reminded me of Southern Tier in this fact that they really went out of their way to have, you know, if they had a double chocolate porter, they'd really... The explosive chocolate notes, right?
Yeah, they make it heard.
Like they weren't shy at all with, you know, with some of the flavors in these beers. It was really cool. It was Southern Tier-esque. That's what I always liked about Southern Tier. You know, you get the mocha or you get the chocolate or, you know, it really comes at you with big flavor.
Oh,
so
cool.
That was a lot of fun.
Are they just on tap or are they any bottles or cans?
No, I didn't see any packaging at all. No bottles, no cans. It was kind of that standard, you know, like industrial park kind of setup that you see a lot of these breweries go into, right?
Yeah.
You know, this sits like right behind a gas station off in this own little space, you know, across the street from like a residential condos.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of I think that small space, that footprint that's very familiar. When you walk in, you know a lot of breweries that are about this size, that have this feel.
Okay.
You know, and they're just doing big, bold, flavorful beers on the south, in the southwest burbs.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then you were also way out in the suburbs again, right?
Yeah. Then I went to the north burbs to Unani.
Unani. Okay.
Yeah. So Jerry Nelson, who used to brew in like Westtown.
Yeah, it was like two or three blocks from Goose Island, like down in. It wasn't an alley. Because it did have a street name,
right.
But it was like what seemed to be an alley.
Yeah. I feel like it wasn't far from the old studio where, you know, where we used to record. I forget the name of that place.
But. From the where Bomb Camp.
Yeah, used Bomb to Camp. Be. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it was over there. Yeah. So I had five beers on over there. Jerry does a lot of like farmhouse ales and sour ales over there, right? And he's in this strip mall in Niles. It's the Glen Golf Mart Plaza. Okay. This is the biggest strip mall I've ever seen, dude.
Really? Okay.
Like just a massive space, like thousands of cars. There's this cinema theater next down, you know, in the mall called Big Cinema. Where all they show is Bollywood movies, and he's next door to like this Dollar Plus. So his sign says brewery, and there's Dollar Plus next to it. So when you get out the car, it kind of reads Dollar Plus Brewery.
Okay.
Which was kind of funny. You know? Yeah. But then you go in, man. He did a really good job on the space, you know. And he's serving up these farmhouse ales, and he's like almost miniature wine glasses.
Okay.
You know.
Is he still doing packaged goods, too?
Yes. You can get the bottles of, like, the Maya and some of his other stuff. And come to find out, he's the guy behind Hubbard's Cave. We were talking last week, and we weren't really sure what Hubbard's Cave was.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, man, that's me. He's like, so apparently he had an issue with his distributor. So he has, you know, he made a name for himself with these farmhouse ales. But he really wanted to experiment with, like, you know, stouts and IPAs.
Right.
And the distributor was like, no, don't do that. Just focus on this. And he's kind of like, well, you know, fuck you. I can kind of do what I want.
Yeah, it's my brewery.
So then he just kind of made this alter ego, which was like, you know, hey, one side farmhouse, other side stouts and IPAs. And then, like we talked about last week, it ended up being named for Ray Beer's Best New Brewery of the Year.
Okay.
Last year.
So not really a new brewery.
Not really a new brewery. New concept from a existing brewery.
Okay.
Yeah, more like that.
Were any of those beers on?
Yeah, I had the stout.
Does the tap room say Unani, but is it just
It's like... weird. The tap room just says brewery.
Oh, okay.
And then you get the tap list, and then there's both logos on the top of the list.
Oh, you know? that's a weird.
And then they're named by, you know, when it's a Hubbard's Cave beer, it's named, you know, Hubbard's Cave Imperial Stout with like cinnamon and vanilla.
Okay. That's little... I would think it's really cool, but also confusing to people. Like, well, which beers do you brew here? We brew them all. Why are there two breweries? We're the same brewery.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's the same brewery. Yeah. Same brewery with different angles. I guess, so he's kind of like, so Jerry used to be, he said he used to be a Marine.
Yeah.
And he used to be an architect. Right. And he's like, he was done with both of those. He wanted to get into brewing. And he originally wanted to set up shop in Chicago because he's from the Northwest side. But it was, you know, it was the red tape, you know, it slowed him down, all litigation. He's like, look, man, I need a tap room now. So he's on the northwest side. And you know how Niles kind of borders the city anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Niles reached out and said, hey, man, you know, we can get you up and running right now. They were super cooperative to work with him.
Okay.
He's like, you know what? I'm doing it in Niles. Yeah.
So he's got to be pretty close to Alarmist.
Oh, like, yeah, because Alarmist is Saginaw-ish. Is that how you say that?
And that's like you can walk to the border, like you go walk to Starbucks, and I think that's in Niles or Morton Grove or whatever. Right
yeah,
there.
There's Morton Grove, Niles,
Skokie.
Yeah, that's that general area. Yeah, those burbs that touch the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think what he was saying was how you know, oh, he had a beer on with Farmhouse. I'm sorry, with Farmhouse. He had a beer on with Penrose.
Okay.
And it was a barrel aged saison.
Nice. Okay.
Really say something. That was the best beer I thought there.
Oh, okay.
You know? Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, you know, if people will go to Penrose, which is like in Geneva, I think you'll see people make the pilgrimage up to Niles. Because, like you said, Alarmist is on the way up there.
And they have a tap room opening soon.
Yeah. And yeah, you're not too far from the city at all.
Mm-hmm. How far was it from like the downtown strip of Niles? Isn't there like a strip that's like the downtown when you get off the expressway there?
This was weird because there was like because me and my buddy Tooch went up there. Tooch is a total, he's one of those guys that's like just kind of a jerk.
Okay.
You know? I mean, I love the guy. Well, but he was on a side note. He was saying how he hated Grand Central. And I was like, oh, and then we told Jerry, and Jerry's like, no, I thought their stuff was pretty good. But Tooch hated it. He's like, the only thing good there is the brown ale, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Oh, but no, from like Armitage, from like Northside, I'd say maybe like 25 minutes, half hour. There's, it sits off 294.
Okay.
So if you're coming from the city, there's no 294 north exit off of 94. So you have to loop around the airport, that kind
of
thing.
Oh, so it's over, because Alarmist is more off of like 90.
Where they split, right? And Alarmist is on the other side of the split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That makes sense. So they're kind of far away in like suburb land. Like, you can't walk to one and then walk to the other. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. They're in the same general area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
So,
was it busy?
Yeah, it was. It was full of people. He mentioned he started naming people that had coming through all week and all weekend. That was his opening weekend. But he was nice enough to break out a beer from Casey Brewing. Have you heard of these guys?
No.
I'm gonna post a picture to the page, man. Casey Brewing. Apparently, he's a guy who does really blending more so than brewing, and he's an AC Golden guy.
Okay.
It's like this, you know, this highly regarded blender, you know, and yeah, we had something called the Cherry Fruit Stand. And I was like, Jesus Christ, man, this is like juice. This is like somewhere between like, you know, cider and beer. It was just really nice every way. Okay. Like, you know, just delicate and really well balanced. And we just had this real cool conversation about, you know, some of the best blenders in the country and you know, these cherries that he's going to be working on for the next project. It was good, man. It was good to see him in flight. I love how he's using like really cool glassware and how he's just like just off the path, you know, give you a chance to lead a city a little bit.
Okay. And then Hubbard's Cove beers, were they?
And the Hubbard's Cove beers were solid. Well, I had the stout. I didn't try the IPA.
Okay.
Yeah, but I tried the stout.
Nice.
I enjoyed everything I had.
No, like I need to make it up there because we did a episode of the Hopcast a little while ago with him.
Uh-huh.
At the space, and it was an interesting space, and he was just kind of really just getting rolling. So yeah, just need to see like where it's all come to be. So that's cool.
Yeah, that was good. That's all I made it to, man. Hit Unani, hit Imperial Oak. So went to the Burbs this weekend, man.
Nice.
That was cool.
Well, should we dive into this week and maybe a little next week since there's no episode? So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Let's hop into it, man. Let's start it on Thursday. The good folks at Delilah's are hosting New Belgium. So New Belgium's La Folie is coming out. So La Folie 2017, this is a launch party for that. This is Thursday the 9th. So what they're going to do is have a five-year vertical of La Folie, which is their sour brown ale.
Okay.
And then they'll launch 2017 version, and they'll have samples of Lips of Faith, which is their entire sour series.
Right.
Yeah. Lips of Faith.
Yeah, I haven't had a New Belgium beer in it's been a while since I've thought about them, and just there's so many other offerings that I'm just kind of like, yeah, no, I don't. But they always make great beers.
It's been a long time for me too, man. This is a $40 ticket at Delilah's.
Okay.
Yeah, and then of course it's Cider Week, so the Michigan Cider Night is going to be at Villains on the same night.
Okay.
They're going to have 7 Michigan cideries up there on that night. If you just want to get,
do you have the list
acquainted,
or can you? No,
we'll post it to the site. I do not have the list.
I was going to see. Yeah. Can we guess them? Yeah, I don't know.
Because I know.
We know two.
Yeah, Virtue.
And Vandermill.
Yeah, and a bit. And there's like Uncle John's. I know him. But yeah, there's apparently 7.
Okay. And then also Thursday over at the Revolution Tap Room on Kedzie, they're having Eugene or Gene Night.
Right.
The Gene Pool. So they're tapping beers like Eugene, Blue Gene.
Yeah.
What else we got? Wee Gene.
Yeah. Is there a Norma Jean?
There might be a Norma.
The Marilyn Monroe beer?
It might be that.
Right on.
They're going to have food. They're going to have Blue Jean cotton candy. They have very old Eugene. That's a 23-month aged porter. So that's kind of cool.
When we had the Guild on the show a couple years ago, it was like it was Gary Valentine and it was Justin Maynard. That was a beer they brought.
Okay, the Blue Jean?
Yeah, they bought the Blue Jean, which was like, it was fun stuff.
Yeah. So check that out. I haven't been to the tap room in a little while.
It's been a while for me, too.
but always it's a really nice space with shuffleboard and just a good place to hang out at.
And bring your food.
That's right.
Yeah. Tribes out in Tinley Park is hosting their Oyster Fest this weekend.
Wait, we got Oyster Fest in Chicago? That
Oyster Fest. They're bringing in fresh oysters, man.
What? And,
yeah. That's what it says. That's what it says. What do you want me to do? And and it's a launch party for their oyster stout.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have Oyster Fest and an oyster stout and in the Midwest.
In beautiful Tinley Park.
Yeah.
So there's king crab. There's chowder. Who doesn't love chowder?
Okay.
And some other stuff going on there. Yeah. So add Oyster Fest down at Tribes.
All right. That's cool. I do like oyster stouts. They're kind of like, they're gritty and like they're really interesting beers.
Yeah. The last one I had might have been, there was a Three Floyds Half Acre collab. That's the last oyster stout I had.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So that's Tribes. Also, what was that, Thursday?
That's all weekend.
All weekend.
That's okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
All right. Yeah. Anything else happening this weekend?
Oh, we can't forget the 5th annual Cider Summit at Navy Pier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Cider Con is running all week, where this is all workshops and kind of industry trade show stuff and, you know, small events around town, but it culminates with this all-day session at Navy Pier.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is actually a really good event. It's not like you're drinking apple juice for 4 hours. These are some really cool, really complex ciders, and you'd be surprised on the different types of flavors available in some of these ciders from all across the world.
Yeah.
So this is a fun time. This is a $40 ticket. 11 a.m. is the first session. Second session starts at 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing about ciders is they sneak up on you. Like this one's 5.7%, and we are, you like power through ciders for some reason. I think that's because they're sweeter.
And they're so easy.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not to say they're like not complex, but they're just like, you just knock them back. Like I think your brain thinks of just drinking juice. So you're just like, all right, I got to finish this so I can get some more juice.
I got some tequila in the car, man. we can get busy with these other ciders.
I don't think I have gin here. I think I only have bourbon and whiskey and yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think bourbon and cider works out, does it?
The cider, maybe. Mm. Maybe. Not too much.
No.
I say maybe just like one shot.
Yeah.
We should try it out, see what's going on.
All right. So that's it for this weekend. All events you should be checking out. I know Night of the Living Ales is coming up.
Yes.
That might be the following weekend, right? The 19th or something?
Yeah.
So I think tickets are still available for that. There's two sessions. It's actually Day of the Living Ales, but there's also the night session.
March 4th.
Oh, March 1st. Yeah. So that's almost about a month away, so you still have time. Get tickets. That's a fun event. I think I'm going to try to grab tickets and go.
Oh, Sausage Fest at Haymarket on February 11th.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So. Sausage Fest is awesome. Like, I think we went 1 year because Maeve and I went because we were just like, you know, we've been hearing about this for years.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. And that's pretty cool. Like, and you get, they have all their beers. And yeah,
that looks like a $55 ticket. Mm-hmm. Not just sausages, but cheeses, beer, cider. Yeah, and it looks like they invite restaurants out as well.
Yeah,
to come and bring their sausages.
It's kind of set up similar to my if you went to Beer Fly Alley Fight, kind of just the same kind of thing for that. Yeah,
no,
that one.
Oh, cool.
All right, so that's it for the calendar. As always, we're posting a lot of these events on our Facebook page and sharing other ones. I know I shared a Moody Tongue chocolate thing that they're doing. So yeah, check that out because we share other things there that maybe we didn't get to cover here.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But then we always like to wrap things up with a little bit of beer news. What do we got?
Yeah, for sure. Let's get into it. Speaking of Moody Tongue, they every Thursday this month, they're doing what's called a beer and wings mashup. So there's this restaurant in Hyde Park called A10. I'm not too familiar with it.
No.
But A10 is the home for this event. So it'll basically be like Moody Tongue beers and A10 wings. And they'll do a beer and wing pairing for you every month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it's a once a month thing or every day?
Of every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday for February.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So they must be pretty close.
Yeah, right. They must be buddies. We talked about Revolution earlier. Revolution turned 7 years old.
Brew pub on Milwaukee,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the brew pub on Milwaukee. Yeah.
That's nuts.
I remember the first day I had that bacon fat popcorn.
Yeah, that was kind of amazing. And then there was like a year where you're like, this is awesome. And then the next year, like, I shouldn't get this, but everyone that I take there, you need to have this.
It's delicious. And you know?
I haven't had it in a while.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorite parties was like their second anniversary party upstairs in like the Brewer's Lounge. It was just like it was a low country dinner.
Okay.
Where it was just like six courses of madness, full pours, and like some kind of house-made hooch at the end on like a Wednesday night.
Okay.
It was just fantastic. It was a good time.
Nice.
Yeah, so cheers to those guys. Also, all week, all month, they're having a used barrel sale at Revolution at the Tap Room. Now, you have to go to their website and buy and pre-order the barrels, the bourbon barrels.
Okay.
But then it's a $50 barrel, and you can pick them up every Saturday this month.
So they're barrels that they aged something in, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So for all you homebrewers out there, or if you're just an enthusiast and you just want to, you know, craftsman and you want to turn it into a trash can like we do on the brew bus, or turn it into a tabletop or something.
Okay.
You know?
Interesting. And yeah, and I'm sure that's a lot of beer for a homebrewer to brew.
Yeah.
When you think about it, like.
Like, fit, was it 30 gallons?
Damn. I don't know. Beer. 50, yeah.
I think the barrel may be bigger than a keg.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because a keg could fit into a barrel with room for ice and everything. Yeah.
So you might be talking like 2 kegs of beer.
Yeah, that's a lot of beer.
Yeah. Forbidden Root is turning 1 year old.
Okay.
Already. Hopwell also turns one on the 18th. And they're doing a big party with a beer release on the 18th.
On the 18th, oh, okay. May I head over there? I haven't been to Hopwell in a while. Hopewell.
Did I say Hopewell?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hopewell.
I meant Hopewell in Logan Square.
Yeah, I haven't been over there in a little bit. I kind of like the space and just it's quiet that far down Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, I'd like to make it over there sometime too. I went to Parsons, the chicken and fish joint, and they've got 3 Hopewell beers on tap over there.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, I had a Hopewell beer at Whole Foods the other day.
Really?
And I was like, it's a beer shopping kind of day.
You know?
It was a red, and it was pretty tasty.
Yeah. Founders is putting Doom in 4-packs starting in May. That's their barrel-aged double IPA.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had Doom.
Doom is a delicious beer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Better?
Yeah, a little bit different. It's got, since it sits in barrels, it's got those really fun, like, oaky vanilla notes, you know, to play along with the double IPA.
Okay.
That's what makes it unique.
Do you know how long they put it into barrels?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. Because, you know, like this new Goose Island series where they've got, like, a Doppelbock and, like, a Scotch Ale. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, like, hey, we're putting these in for, like, 3 months, you know. Or the Greg Hall and the Virtue Cider Barrel-Aged Mitten. They use that for 9 months, but then they add fresh juice to it. So it's not typically, you know, back in the day, like every barrel-aged beer you had kind of aged for like 9 to 12 months, and that was it.
Right.
But you're starting to see that shift a little bit, I think. People are getting a little more creative, a little more, having a little more fun with it.
That's cool, yeah. Well, maybe now I will get to try this beer. I can't believe I've probably never had Doom. It just never.
Yeah, it was part of their backstage series. Last time it was released was 2013.
Okay.
That's probably why, too. You know, and then it was in Bombers, you know. So it was one of those things where if you didn't get it that day, it was done.
Okay.
You know?
But there was kegs and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, but there were kegs as well, too.
I think it's just the fact that if I'm out and I see a 9% beer that I haven't had, I'm kind of like, I want, like, 2 more beers. I don't want, like, that one beer where everyone else gets to have, like, a couple.
Yeah, I hear you. Or I'll start big in that case. Like, I saw Big Hugs, the salted port, the salted chocolate one. At World of Beer, and that's the first thing I got.
Okay.
But yeah, but like you said, if you wait at past that first one, you probably wouldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else we got here? The good folks at the Sedgwick stop for Valentine's Day have conveniently found a keg of Goose Island Proprietors.
Just happened to find it.
They're like, hey, we happen to have this. We're going to tap it for Valentine's Day.
This is how much Goose Island Bourbon County stuff people have. That it is just, I found it, you know, it was in the back of the closet.
You guys, come in. Let's do this. Yeah, Hopleaf, they held back on their some of their Goose Island stuff, so they had a Super Bowl party with it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, there was a girl and a goat Goose Island dinner that had vanilla rye from 2014 at it last week. Yeah.
Damn.
So that's just as much. That's just as fun. Like, so lining up on Black Friday to get it is fun, but then also, you know, whipping it out every once in a while over the course of like a 3-year period is kind of fun too.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. So.
All right. So Valentine's, the good Valentine's Day thing, right?
That's a good Valentine's Day thing. If you find yourself, you know, being forced into Valentine's Day activities like most people are, you know.
I feel like getting forced into it, that's a poor way to look at it, right?
That's true. I mean, if you.
Like, you're never forced into it. You do it out of love or necessity, right?
If your love leads you to go to a restaurant that you typically wouldn't frequent, you know, treat yourself along with your significant other and get yourself down to this prop table.
But so you could do dinner, nice dinner.
Yes.
And then maybe you dessert at that place or you go somewhere else, and then you're like, let's go grab a drink afterwards. And that's kind of do a three-stop kind of thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you need an idea for that type of triangle there, the Sedgwick Stop has prop on tap on Valentine's Day. You're welcome.
All right.
What else we got?
He's snitching on that prop release.
Stop dry snitching where the prop is. Yeah, crazy ass Jose said we tell people where the prop is, we're snitching. It was hilarious. So Kaiser Tiger, every year they do this this curling league, right?
Okay.
And you know, it's like an industrial. It's an industry curling league. So that ended this week. And the puns on these names are hilarious. There's a team called James Curl Jones. That's the what was that? The Cicerone guys.
Okay.
But the winners of this contest were Curl Harbor, and that's the Low Res guys, which is that brewery that just came out. I think they're going to be based in Pilsen.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's right. Okay. Your 2017 industry curling champs.
Nice. Yeah.
And it's a lot of news here.
That is. Then we have there's the boycott Budweiser thing going on.
Oh yeah.
Right?
So then there's boycotting Budweiser, man. All the pro Trump guys are like, get that Budweiser out of here. So Budweiser, during the Super Bowl, had a really cool commercial that kind of highlighted their immigrant roots.
Uh-huh. Right?
There's so how's the commercial like? So the story in the commercial is like Adolphus Bush and how, you know, he's like, you know, getting treated badly on his way to America. He's saying, hey, I want to come here to brew beer. And everybody, when he gets here, like, get out of my country. And he's going through all this turmoil. You know, like he's in a boat and the boat is about to sink. Yeah, top off.
And he just it also makes it really sad for St. Louis that the boat sank. This is where I ended up. Like, I couldn't get to where I was going, and like
it kinda,
now I'm in St. Louis. Sorry.
It kind of implies like, hey man, I'm done traveling. I'm just gonna stay here
as far as I could make it.
Yeah. So it was a good spot considering, you know, the climate, you know, politically that we're in.
Right, which is serendipity for them that if the political climate wouldn't have happened as it has, I don't think the spot would have been as powerful.
I agree with that totally. That's a very good point. I don't think it would be as interesting.
Because this was shot months ago.
Yeah, they plan these things like, you know, like a year out.
Yeah, except I think the Airbnb one was like shot like in one day and like, oh, we bought an ad space. Let's shoot it and done. Okay.
Is that the super weird one where it's like a lumber? Like,
no, that's a different one.
Oh, dude, I don't understand. I'm like, where are they going? On that commercial, Lumber 84. I'm like, where are they going?
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, the Budweiser spot. So they do this cool ad, you know, about their immigrant roots, and then, you know, it comes out that, hey, you know, they interviewed a guy who wrote a book on Budweiser and say, hey, is this really what happened? Did Adolphus Bush go through this on his way here? And this guy, this is a book you read. It's called Bitter Brew. It's the rise and fall of Anheuser-Busch, you know.
It's a really good book for, even if you're not a Budweiser fan, I think it's a very good book for, one, the beer industry, and one for, like, small business, entrepreneurship kind of ideas there.
Yeah, and you got me curious, because I kind of want to read, because a lot of people will tell you, like, they're really disappointed at, I think it's Augie Bush the Fifth or maybe six, how, you know, Budweiser essentially sold to the Belgians on his watch.
Oh, they make
and
him.
That pisses everyone off.
Oh, that book makes that him out to be like the worst. Like, he is awful. Like, knowing what has happened in my time and then reading the book, it's like, damn, that dude sucks a lot.
Yeah, you go 5-6 generations deep, and then you lose it. That's got to be tough. Oh, so this guy, you know, William Nodesell, William, we'll call him Willie, who wrote the book. He's kind of like, they interviewed him and said, hey, is this what happened when he came over? And Willie's like, no, man, that's not what happened at all. You know, he wasn't a poor immigrant, first of all.
Okay.
And B, he wasn't coming to brew beer. He was coming to, you know, to start his fortune, right? Like, he was a well-off German, and he was going to St. Louis because St. Louis had
land.
They had land and a booming German culture. Like, you know, he was coming into, like, something that
he saw opportunity and took advantage of it.
Yeah, he was coming into a stable thing. He wasn't, like, you know, hated and, you know, getting stuff tossed at him, telling him to go back home.
Okay.
It didn't look like that at all. It was just for the commercial. Okay. I don't know what disappoints me more, that or learning that, you know, when Lady Gaga had her performance on the roof of the building where she
that was
jumped
pre-shot.
Down. It was pre-shot. It wasn't even real, man. I'm seeing Lady Gaga on the roof of the stadium. I'm like, man, she looks like a superhero, man.
Well, they can't,
and it was all fake.
Well, they can't fly drones during the Super Bowl over that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the I like the spot. The boycott Budweiser thing, like, oh, people, last year, 2 years ago, you guys were like, screw you, craft beer, stupid fruit in your beer.
No.
I'm going to drink this beer. And now you're like, boycott. What are you going to drink? Like, what do you have left? Right?
Pick
like,
a lane.
Like,
I'm with
I guess you. Now Coors is back to being sort of American, Canadian kind of thing, right?
I've always kind of dug them a little bit more anyway.
But
the whole Miller and Coors crew.
So if you're boycotting Budweiser now, you're not drinking craft beer and you're not drinking Budweiser, are you just done drinking? Right? Like, what do you got left? What are you doing?
If might have to go to whiskey.
If you're just drinking whiskey, you're like, you only drink bourbon because that's Kentucky.
Because that's Kentucky.
That's you all know? You can drink.
That's America's native spirit right there.
All right, so if you're boycott Budweiser now, you can only drink Kentucky bourbon. That's all I want to see you drinking, and that's it. But
That's it for news.
Yeah. I think that does it for this week's episode.
Right on.
Nick, where can people find you, get in touch?
I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at B-Rad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass.
This is good. The more you drink it, the more
really
into
one,
it.
Yeah. Facebook page, we mentioned that a couple times. That's probably the best place to check us out, /Chicago Beer Pass. I'll post events, photos. I'll probably share some stuff from New Orleans as well.
I'm jealous,
down there,
man.
Yeah, should be good. And ChicagoBeerPass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version. We've been streaming live on Periscope if you want to come hang out and see the unfiltered, because it's unfiltered. You can check that out as well. All right. Take care.
Cheers.